This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
So glad to have you back with us as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, and open innovation. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online and webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Exciting show today. We're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from someone a lot of us never heard of, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program, and of course at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. Right now, though, to tell us about the lineup for today's show, here is Jack Bishop.
And thank you so much for being with the Science News Network radio program. I'm Jack Bishop, and coming up on April 3rd and 4th in Corpus Christi at the Omni Hotel, it's the IEEE Green Technologies Region 5 Conference. Joining us to be part of that presentation is one of the keynote speakers they're going to have there. And joining us is Dr. Daryl Morgan. We thank you so much for being with us, Doctor.
My pleasure.
Now, for those of us who aren't aware of what IEEE is all about and this conference, tell us what we can expect.
Well, I suppose that focus in on IEEE, we're the largest professional society in the world. We have nearly 450,000 members all over the world, and our technologies span everything from basic electricity to the most sophisticated electronics and computers and devices of that type. So when you say, what can you expect from IEEE, anything that has a battery or anything that uses power is probably totally within the purview of the IEEE.
Well, that's quite a range.
Well, it is. It's quite a bit. All of your satellite communications, all of your GPS signal processing. In fact, if you use Photoshop, the software that's behind Photoshop is a very sophisticated signal processing technology that is just everyday life now. And it used to be, of course, very sophisticated, but now everybody uses it. But anyway, it's a big professional society. Green Tech focuses primarily, though, on things that we can do to improve the energy efficiency. Excuse me, the use of energy in the home, in business, in industry, and also what are ways that we can generate energy and produce energy that have less impact on the environment totally or individually in our homes.
Now, as we said at the beginning of the program, this is the sixth annual IEEE Green Technologies Conference that's coming up. It happens April 3rd and 4th in the beautiful city of Corpus Christi, going on there at hotel there, Corpus Christi Omni, and this year I understand that the theme is Sow the Seeds of Our Future. Now, as a kid who grew up in the 50s and 60s thinking about the possibilities of what could happen, one of the things that we always imagined, I think, was that we would always have a easily abundant source of energy. And we're finding out now that it's not easy, and the question of its abundance is also an issue, is it not?
Well, that's true. And of course, engineering, and especially electrical engineering, is involved in every facet of the energy production. And it is true, the difference between a developed country and a non-developed country is how we how much energy we use individually and in our corporations. And when we think about energy, of course, since you have stated that you're from the old days, that many people pumped their water using windmills back then, especially ranchers and farmers. And over time, we substituted the cheap electricity for windmills, and now we're going back to windmills to make electricity from. So what goes around kind of comes around, doesn't it?
That was the old folks used to say when I was a kid, everything old is new again. Now,
that could be true, yes.
Now, one of the things that caught my eye in looking at some of the topics, and the topics are quite wide and diverse, everything from developing energy sources from ocean tidal waves and solar and geothermal, which I thought was going to be the boon of the entire thing there. But one of the things that caught my eye in talking to one of our associates around here at the Science News Network was the question of energy storage when it comes to electricity. And I had never thought about the fact that you got to store this stuff in order to have access to it when we start talking about the questions of efficiency. Now, are there any breakthroughs that we can expect to see in the not-too-distant future in energy storage?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't see any immediate what I would call value-engineered technology. There are lots of technologies for storing energy. The issues are how much can they store, how efficiently can they store it, And then how efficiently can they deliver it back to us when we need it? And of course, as you mentioned, if you use wind, when the wind dies down, what do you do? When the sun goes down, if you're dependent upon solar, what do you do? So if you think about it, petroleum and natural gas is in fact an energy storage mechanism, isn't it?
That's right. But I think one of the things that the layman is not aware of, at least this layman wasn't aware of until a conversation with our executive producer, Colonel Mason, battery storage reaches a point where where you run out of capacity, so to speak.
That's true.
And he was talking about, and I tried to listen to him with a straight face and managed to pull it off. He got to talking about flywheels, something that I had heard of as far as some of the new hybrid cars are using to store energy and then release it. But the idea of giant flywheels seemed kind of impractical to me.
But well, I think I would agree with you. First of all, they'd have to be quite massive and extremely large and heavy.
One of the things that caught my eye in looking at some of the topics that are going to be discussed was the question of biofuels. Now, as a guy who ran diesel cars for a lot of years, when I heard about biodiesel, I got genuinely excited, but it never seemed to come online. Are we going to get serious about biofuels in the future?
Well, there are, in fact, quite a few places where you can buy biofuels. One of the main sources of biodiesel these days is cooking oil.
And I read an article years and years ago that talked about making your own biodiesel in the backyard, and I was going to try that, but my wife said no. But cooking oil can actually be converted into biodiesel and thus fuel.
That's correct. So you kind of get a double use. You grow the product. If you think about it, every cellulosic material on the face of the earth is a device that is storing energy.
Right.
A tree grows and it can be burned for a source of energy. Corn grows, sugarcane grows, they can be used as a source of energy. There are many desert plants that are very oily that are storing the energy from the sun, and they can be used and converted into some type of fuel for human use. So where we get all of our energy, if we stop and think about it, it's from the sun.
And so, that old analogy about that we all heard in junior high school still holds true, that is where the energy that we're using today started out millions of years ago. Now, recently in a documentary that I saw, I saw something that struck me, that Saudi Arabia, of all places, is now very, very proactive in solar research, and that the Saudis said, look, we're known for producing energy, and we want to be there no matter what kind of energy we're talking about. We seem to have, from what I observe in this country, we don't seem to have a very aggressive policy on the governmental level of developing our solar, our geothermal, or wind. Is it just because of government's inertia, or is it just because we, the consumers, aren't pressuring for these alternatives?
Well, I guess I would take a little bit of difference with you. We have spent a lot of money at the government level on the development of solar energy. And of course, without getting into telling you everything that I think is wrong with government and policy, I believe in the free enterprise system. If it doesn't make sense economically, it shouldn't be done. And so when you develop a technology, it has got to pay its own way. And the problems are that we all started out some years ago, we all wanted to have solar hot water heaters on our house. Well, yeah, they work, but they are a big maintenance problem, and after a while, they cost more to operate than you're getting out if you bought energy in another way. So, in my view, what drives technology is a good free enterprise system, and those in which people are willing to take a risk and invest their money will be the ones that come to the forefront. And that's probably the best way to create innovation as opposed to major government programs, which a lot of people just tend to ride without much productivity because they don't have to.
Spending some time talking about the big conference that's coming up April 3rd and 4th. It's the 6th annual IEEE Green Technologies Conference coming up in April in Corpus Christi. And we're talking with Dr. J. Gerald Morgan. Those of us out here in just the layman's world, do we sometimes get the cart before the horse as far as what we expect to be developed and what is actually developed? Do we kind of get into what I would call the latest, greatest, newest, oh yeah, and get disappointed when the science and development falls behind the time schedule that maybe we think it should? And what can we do to get people to realize that all of these measures and all of these alternatives are going to take time, going to take infusions of capital, and it's not going to happen overnight?
Well, I think that's true. Nothing really good happens overnight. It takes a lot of people, a lot of time, and a lot of capital to move forward. And oftentimes when you try to interject, force things through government programs, you end up wasting money, time, and effort. Let's take our own issue of ethanol and fuel. In Brazil, they use cars that use almost all ethanol.
Right.
But they also produce the ethanol from sugarcane as opposed from corn. And the production of ethanol from sugar is 10 times more efficient than the production from corn. So we got trapped into this concept of corn through government programs, and I don't really know all the details, but I would guess corn farmers' influence in generating ethanol when we really ought to be producing it from a better source called sugar.
We've got just a few minutes, and then we're going to have to wrap up. One of the questions I've got to talk to you about, well, two things. Green buildings and more efficiency with getting energy distributed. I'm thinking in terms of green distribution. Now, I have a friend who has built a genuinely energy-efficient house. But boy, did it cost him a lot of extra money to do that. Now, I would imagine that as the technologies become more available and more widespread, the cost is going to go down. But what are some of the things that we could do right now to make that happen?
Well, I'm going to give a paper on that. I built a house trying to use not expensive technologies like you just mentioned, but to save a lot of energy and to have a house that is very useful. And what I did was I set up some design criteria of low maintenance, accessibility, livability, energy efficient, value engineered, and safety. And quite frankly, I have an Energy Star home. The same technologies can be used commercially as are used in this home. And large quantities of energy could be saved if people built with construction of the type that will save energy. And you say your friend spent a lot of extra money. I'll have to tell you that my 6,000 square foot home costs about $2,000 more than standard construction. And I have about a 50% better than anybody else in the area for the same size house. I use about half the energy.
I'm going to have to let my friend Rob hear this interview because his energy efficient home cost him about $35,000 more.
But well, he went after generating his own electricity.
How did you know?
I just decided that what I was going to do is not use as much energy.
Well, I've got to admit, you hit the nail on the head on what he did, and he proudly will show you his electric meter running backwards. But I had to ask him, were the savings worth the cost? And he said to me, Jack, I really don't know. Now, we're running out of time. The conference that's coming up, it's the sixth annual conference, and it's, of course, as we said, it's sponsored by the IEEE Region 5. It's coming to Corpus Christi April 3rd through 4th, and you're presenting a lot of information here today, but there's going to be more from yourself and other people who are going to be there. When you professionals get together, and start comparing what you're working on, I imagine it can be pretty exciting.
Yeah, most often it is. We have lots of disagreement, too. Okay, and I think by disagreement, discussion, and evaluation, we get the better solutions.
Well, my dad used to say that if you get two people together with opposing opinions, by the end of the evening at a bottle of Jack Daniels, they may have an answer.
Yeah, they might.
We've been spending some time talking to Dr. J. Gerald Morgan. He's going to be one of the presenters at the 6th Annual IEEE Green Technologies Conference in Corpus Christi, April 3rd through 4th. Happens at the Omni Hotel. It's the Region 5. Sounds like it's going to be an interesting, interesting time. Doctor, I want to thank you for being on the Science News Network. In science news that you can use in a recent early online edition of Nature Chemistry, Arizona State University scientists, along with colleagues at Argonne National Laboratories, have reported advances towards perfecting an artificial leaf. Designing an artificial leaf that uses solar energy to convert water cheaply and efficiently into hydrogen and oxygen is one of the goals of BizFuel, the Energy Frontier Research Center, funded by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry at Arizona State. Oxygen is an important fuel in itself and serves as an indispensable reagent for the production of light hydrocarbon fuels with heavy petroleum feedstocks. Initially, the artificial leaf did not work very well, and diagnostic studies on why indicated that a step where a fast chemical reaction had to interact with a slow chemical reaction was not efficient, according to ASU chemistry professor Dr. Thomas Moore. The fast one step is the step where light energy is converted to chemical energy, and the slow one is the step where chemical energy is used to convert water into elements, such as hydrogen and oxygen. The researchers took a closer look at how nature had overcome a related problem in the part of photosynthesis where water is oxidized to yield oxygen. Researchers looked in detail and found that nature had used an intermediate step. That intermediate step involved a relay for electrons in which one half of the relay interacted with the fast step in the optimal way to satisfy it, and the other half of the relay then had time to do the slow step of water oxidation in an efficient way. Scientists then designed an artificial relay based on the natural one and were rewarded with major improvements. Seeking to understand what they had achieved, the team then looked in detail at the atomic level to figure out how this might work. They used various methods to determine the local electromagnetic environment of the electrons and protons participating in the relay, and with the help of theory identified a unique structural feature of that relay. This was an unusually short bond between a hydrogen atom and a nitrogen atom that facilitates the correct working of the relay. They also found subtle magnetic features of the electronic structure of the artificial relay that mirrored those found in the natural system. And not only has the artificial system been improved, but the team understands better now how the natural system works. Now, this will be important as scientists develop the artificial leaf approach to sustainability, harnessing the solar energy needed to provide the food, fuel, and fiber needs that humans are increasingly demanding.
Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Oh, yes, it is your former president, James Madison. The greatest danger to liberty in this free nation is to be found in the body of the people. operating by the majority against the minority.